ask a question about the verse 5, Brahma Samhita, Ashtabhi Nidhi Yustam.
Oh yeah, maybe I should get the book. I'm not like a question about. You have a question about that verse. Or what's the question?
It's eight kinds of treasures: Padma, Mahapadma, Makar, Kachap, Mukunda, Nanda, Shankha, and Leela.
Those are the mystic cities.
Yes, cities.
Anima city becomes smaller than this.
Siddhi.
Siddhi, S-I-D-D-H-I, yoga, mystic perfections.
Mystical power.
Yeah, and they're compared to jewels, because those are, if you have jewels, you have a lot of value.
Okay, compared to jewels.
So that's what it says here. It says eight jewels. It says eight directions are decorated with eight jewels.
Right.
So there's two things here. There's two things that it's talking about. The actual... Well, it's talking about the external plane of Gokul. So this is Shwetadweep. So of course that means Gokul is where Krishna lives. Okay? And beyond Gokul is Vaikuntha. And Vaikuntha is ruled by Krishna's expansions. Krishna expanses in the Chaturvyuha. Krishna expanses Vasudev, Balaram expanses Sankarshan, then Vasudev expanses Pradyumna and Aniruddha. One is intelligence, one is mind. Aniruddha's mind and Pradyumna's intelligence. So then there's Vasudev, there's Krishna and Balaram, and two expansions of Krishna. So that's what he says. There's a mysterious quadrangle place named Shwetadweep surrounding the outskirts of Gokul. It's just like, it's almost like a, you know, it's basically, that's what he says, it's the abode of Vasudev, Sankarshan. They're separately located in each of these four parts. So it's almost like, these four lords of the Chaturvyuha, they're guarding the four directions, just like in Yogapit.
Right.
This is, if you come into Yogapit, there's Navadvip Yogapit. This is basically the whole idea we're getting to here is because the Gopal Yantra, it's about Yogapit.
Right.
It's a yantra means a machine, a configuration, a geometric design, which kind of puts in a design form. The actual intangible, imperceptible spiritual world. And whether it's Radha and Krishna in the center, or it's Lakshmi Narayan, or it's Lakshmi Narayan, so Lakshmi Yantra, and Narayan's there, and Lakshmi Yantra. Then they expand, and all their energies and Shaktis are surrounding them. And then in a Yantra, there's four gates.
Right.
There's four gates. There's like a lotus, so many petals of lotus, or it depends on the Gopal Yantra has lotuses. But then the Sri Yantra has diamonds, and has triangles. You know, so many triangles. So all of these configurations or drawings of the various yantras are to represent infinity.
Infinity,
because the spiritual world is infinite, and the spiritual world is not up there. Point your finger upwards in the sky. It's not downwards. It's unidirectional. The spiritual world. It's a world. It's not a world in the sense of Grahan. Grahan means a planet. It's world in the sense of realm. It's a realm. It's called Loka. Loka is one thing.
It's a dimension.
It's a dimension, exactly. Grahan is one thing. It's a localized. Often we say the Goloka planet, and they show some round thing, and then they show in the center is Gokul, and then Radha and Krishna, and outside is Mathura, and some outer petal, the lotus, and then Shwetadweep is beyond. Shwetadweep means Vaikuntha. So then it says these four divide. So in a yoga pit, in the four gates of the yantra, but in the yoga pit, there's four gatekeepers in Radha Krishna's yoga pit. There's Radha and Krishna in the center. Then they're surrounded by the Astamandris, then the Astasakis, then the Astupasakis, then in the four directions. The cardinal directions, north, south, Uttar, Paschim, Uttar, Dakshin, Paschim, Purva, four directions, then there's four gatekeepers. Brindadevi is one gatekeeper. Brindadevi, Brindarika, Menaka, and Muralika. So then a Vaikuntha in this configuration here, guarding Gokul, the inner part of Gokul, is Krishna himself. And one direction is Balaram, one direction is Vasudeva, Krishna. another direction is mind, another direction is intelligence. So you can't get into the center part, Goloka Vrindavan, without passing through Shweta Dweep consciousness, or through beyond intelligence, beyond Aniruddha, beyond Pradyumna, and beyond Shankarshan, beyond like this. That's why you see in Gopal, what do you call it, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Gopal Kumar, he went to all these different levels and attainments to finally get to Vrindavan, to Gokul. He went through the Aniruddha layer, and he went through the Aniruddha Vishnuloka and the Pradyumna, and he went to all these planes, of consciousness. He had to cross all these intellectual, mental plane, physical plane, opulences, power, prestige, Shivaloka, Brahmaloka, and finally get to the Nirupadik, undesignated, transcendental, blissful abode of Braj. And that's the whole story of Priya Bhagavatamrita. So then it says, that's what it says, there's ten tridents fixed in 10 directions, 8 directions are decorated. I remember, there are 10 tridents in 10 directions to prevent and disappoint those who are aspirants for having entrance into Goloka through meditations without the grace of Krishna. Basically, these are all this whole verse is about how you have to pass through all these things to get to Goloka. There's why is there 10 tridents? It's all symbolic. Just like why does Shiva carry a trishun? Because he's Gunatit. He's conquered the three modes of nature. So trishul means tamagun, rajagun, sattvagun. Right. So everything has a meaning. What does it mean? Why are the snakes around Shiva? Those are his Ishtadev, Sankarshan, because he worships Balaram in the form of Anantashesh. They also represent immortality. For the yogi is immortal, because the snake represents Kala. Kala means time. Right. When a snake bites you, your time's finished. So the snake represents Kala, time. So he's timeless, he's immortal. That the snakes also represent that. So the same thing as verse 5 of Brahma Samhita, although sounding very technical, lots of numbers and lots of analogies, it's all about the different layers and direct. You try to come into Goloka through the... there's 10 directions. There's 8 directions and up and down, that's 10. So those 10 directions are wherever you try... I try to go in the back door. There's burglar alarms and bulldogs. I try to come in the front door, there's burglar alarms and bulldogs. You know, what a bulldog, you know, bulldog, you know, that's powerful dogs. And I try to come in at south side or north side. Let me try to dig a tunnel underneath. Let me try to come through the roof. Either way, you'll get impaled on the trishun, on the trident. So then, and then you may try to get there through yogic cities. So those are the jewels. So people get bewildered by jewels, they get attracted by jewels. So those are the mystic cities. The 10 protectors of the 10 protectors of the 10 directions in the form of mantra. And it says at the end, it says the associates of the youths, blue, yellow, red, and white, the extraordinary potencies. This last line of the verse translation.
What's chaturyuga, right? Your colors?
These four colors, I have a note here what it is. these associates, this is Krishna's associates have four colors. That means that Balaram is white, Krishna is blue, and Pradyumna is red, and like this. I don't remember. It's not here. Then it says, and the extraordinary potencies bearing the name Vimala shine on all sides. So there's 16 potencies or shaktis. Bhu, Nila, Vimala, Nila Shakti, Lila Shakti, Vimala, Bhu, etc. Those are the 16 shaktis which are represented by the 16 wheels on Jagannath's cart.
Oh,
Jagannath's card is 16 wheels, Balaram's card is 14, and Subhadra's card has 12. Because Krishna has 16 potencies, and his card is moving on those 16 potencies. 8 are his internal potencies, and 8 are his external potencies. Vidya, Gir, Shri, Leela, so many are there. They're mentioned in 11th Kanto, one teak also. This is really technical stuff.
Gopal Yantra is an expansion, projection of the Gopal Mantra.
Gopal Yantra? You're saying, what is Gopal Yantra? You might be asking that. I have so many notes on this. Because I had a first understanding, I taught this, I had to really, really deeply understand each one of these verses.
Okay.
And they're highly technical. If you listen to those tapes, you can hear all the technicalities. Like once somebody asked Prabhupada, he was in Hawaii, Prabhupada was translating the sixth canto or so. And one disciple asked Prabhupada a question about the fifth canto, which was already finished. He said, Prabhupada, in the universe, the distance between the planetary regions and this, that, very technical question. Prabhupada said, I can't remember that, but you can find the answer in the fifth canto. So then Prabhupada, he asked the devotee, he said, do you know what the meaning, do you know what the definition of an intelligent person is? And the devotee didn't know. So I could ask you, what's the definition of an intelligent person is that he knows a lot. He really knows a lot, all different kinds of subjects. Paramarthic, vidya, avidya, spiritual material, all kinds of things. From cooking to gardening to music. Like you look at the talents of the Astasakis or Radharani Sakis. Their abilities and talents are listed in Radhakrishna Ganadesh Deepika by Rupa Goswami. And you take one Sakhi, for example, and she has expertise in like 15 different fields. Dyeing clothes, and detecting bogus gems from real gems. How to dye gems, how do you take a very pale color blue sapphire from Sri Lanka, and they can dye it dark blue and make it look like an African blue sapphire. You know, Sri Lanka sapphire costs 50,000 rupees and a blue sapphire from South Africa costs 16 lakhs. So, and then how to train cocks to fight, how to train rams to fight, you know, male rams, and cocks, you know, cocks, male roosters to fight, sailing, the art of sailing and navigation, the art of identifying wild herbs and plants, the art, all these hundreds and hundreds of arts that the Sakhis know, and they're famous for them. They're described, each one. So that means that an intelligent person like a Brajagopi, they know a lot. So one definition of intelligent person is he knows a lot. And the second definition is if he doesn't have the answer to some question, he knows where to find it.
Okay.
Of course, nowadays, this probably gave this definition, 1970s, there was no Google search engine. But nowadays, an intelligent person is someone. The definition of an intelligent person is someone who knows a lot, or he says, look it up on Google. So in Prabhupada's case, he would say, an intelligent person, this is what he said, he knows a lot himself from his vast studies and learning and education and experience. By the mercy of Guru and God, he knows a lot. Krishna gives memory and knowledge. But then he knows exactly where to find the answer. So Prabhupada said, you can find an answer in fifth canto, or you can find an answer in my tapes on Brahma Samhita, this, that. But nowadays, you just give one thing. You can find it on Google.
Yeah.
In the old days, someone would say something amazing and outlandish and surprising. So some pracharak. So then some devotees, Indian devotees in the audience, they say, excuse me, Panaji, what is the source or the reference for that? Oh, it's in the Puranas. It's in the Shrutis. He said, it's in the Smritis. Smritis means Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita, Ramayana. These are called Smritis. And the Puranas are Puranas, and the Shrutis are the Upanishads and Rig Veda, Samaveda, Yajurveda, and Atharva Veda. They're called Shrutis. Shruti Shruti Smriti Prashtan. So nowadays, instead of the Pracharak will say, oh, I found that in such and such book. Oh, that's from Google. I'll say that instead of saying that's from the Shrutis or that's from Smriti. Oh, that's from Google search engine. Anyways, okay, that's good. That's bona fide. You know, Google's like, you know, Google's on par with is Google Praman, Shruti Praman, Smriti Praman. It's a new Praman, you know. It's a punch of Praman, you know. Shruti, Smriti. Used to be Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi. There's a verse like that. It's, maybe probably should quote it. Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatrika Vidimbiran. Aikantiki Harer Bhakti Utpatyaiva Kalpate. He said if someone's position, if their position, their philosophy, or their so-called quote-unquote devotional behavior is not found, is not substantiated or not derived from Shruti Smriti Purana, then it's utpatyaiva kalpate. It's utpatyaiva. It's alta. It's upside down.
Yeah.
It's imaginary. It has no support. So this was the term. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatrika Vidimina. So Shruti Smriti Purana Pancharatrika, the Pancharatrika literature, especially mostly by Narada Muni. These are the four pramans. Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatrika, Vidim Vina. So the Vidi, the rule, the regulation, Vina, of your position, if it is not founded there, then it's Utpatyaiva Kalpate. Prabhupada usually uses this verse to describe a disturbance in society.
Right.
He said if someone is acting in such a way that we're speaking against the Shastra, that disturbs the society. This verse is really quoted a lot. It's in Narada Pancharatrik, Hari Bhakti Vilas, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu. It's in the Jaiva Dharma, Bhajan Rahasya, many, many places. It says here, Bhakti must be performed according to the injunctions of the Shastra. Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Adi. So first, that's what it says. Adi, Purana, beginning. These are the three most important. Shruti, the list itself, indicates the supremacy of importance. Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Adi. Beginning with Shruti, that's Mukhya Praman. That's the main Praman. Shruti is the oldest, most established thing. Atharva Veda, Rig Veda, Sam Veda. Originally there was one Veda. And Vyasadeva had four disciples and he divided it into four and gave each four disciple responsibility for one section. Patanjali, Jaimini, etc. So then the one Veda was one Shruti, then it became Atharva Veda, Rig Veda, Sama Veda, and Yajur Veda. Four Vedas. And then the Upanishads were trying to codify or summarize the Shrutis. So you have the Shrutis and Upanishads. Then the Smriti means Smaran, means to remember. Shruti means hear. Shruti means you hear this knowledge from the rishis and then you remember it. So that oral, that Shabda Brahman is Shruti. Shruti is Shabda Brahman, that transcendental vibration. It was heard directly from Guru into your ear. And then it was just straight knowledge. And then Upanishads are explanations or summarizations of that Shruti. And then you have the Smritis. Smriti means smarta. We have smarta Brahmins. There are so many rules and regulations. How to control yourself and control your life so you can follow the teachings of Shruti. So therefore, when we get into the Smritis, then you get into stories. So the Smritis are Bhagavad Gita is a Smriti, Ramayana is a Smriti. There's this story, Mahabharata. Then the Puranas are nothing but stories. There's all kinds of stories to illustrate the original teachings of the Shrutis. So then it says Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, then Pancharatra, Vidimbina. So these are the most important, Shruti, Smriti, Purana. Then the Pancharatrika, there's lots of vidis, rules and whatnot in there. Puja rules and whatnot.
Vaishnava.
You know, there's two kinds. Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir. So Hari Bhakti should be Aikantiki. Utpatyaiva Kalpate. Utpatyaiva means Utpati. Ut means like Uto means rise. And so Utpataya. Utpataya means disturbance. Upat. Same as Hindi. Upataya. Upataya Kalpate. Although engaged in single-minded devotion of Sri Hari, Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir, if one transgresses the regulations, the vidhi mentioned in the Shruti Smriti Puranas and Narada Pancharatra, and if he deviates from the Shastra laws, then undesirable qualities, anarthas, are produced. On the other hand, if someone is too excited and overly concerned for the rules and regulations of bhakti, while disregarding the mood and injunctions of the scriptures, he simply becomes a disturbance of society. So it's a little elaborate definition. So what about back to Brahma Samhita? What more do you have on Brahma Samhita? Do you have more questions there?
No, just this.
That one. You ask, you know, Gopal Yantra is an adjunct. It's an adjunct for someone who has been received diksha in the Gopal Mantra. Alone by itself, Gopal Yantra has no benefit. It's only a copper plate. First of all, you go to Jayapur, there's many pieces of marble there, black and white and whatnot. They're only stone. There's an elaborate ritual involved, beginning according to the Stapana Shastra. The first ritual, not the first ritual, first deity worship, deity, pran pratishtha, installation of deity, begins with prarana. Prarana means in tradition. Because deity worship and the establishment of deities was something done by kings. Because to establish a deity, you have to have a lot of money. Because the deity doesn't have a job. And the deity doesn't have children to go out and work for him. And the deity doesn't have any inheritance. If you're born in Agarwal, automatically you get the Agarwal clothing business in Loy Bazaar and a big fat bank account. And so many hundreds of bigas of land all over the place collected from your father and generations. So you inherit the family wealth. But deities are basically beggars, although they're deities of Lakshmi Narayan and Krishna. So therefore kings would establish the puja. And they would build a huge mandir, they build huge facilities for the pujaris to live in, then dharmashalas, and then all arrangements for cooks, and then they'd have a big goshala for the deity's milk. And then hundreds of bigas of land, that land would be rented out to malis and farmers, and they would pay rent, and that rent money would be used to maintain the deities. Then the vegetables and milk and grains, everything would come from the deities' own lands. Just like here in Radhakund by the canal, there's about a huge piece of property, all full of beautiful trees. It's owned by the Rangaji Temple. And they have many lands here and there. So that land, if they need some money, they would sell that, and it's worth probably 5 or 10 crores. A huge piece of land on the Prikkalmar. So many beautiful trees. So the deities have lots of land all over the place. So to do that, that's a king's work, establishing deities. Like our Radha Govinda Mandir.
Yeah.
When that was established by the king of Jayapur, Man Singh.
Man
Singh. He was the commander-in-chief of Akbar's army. He worked for the Muslim army and attacked many Hindu temples.
He attacked
Puri. You can read the history of Jagannath Puri. He led the attack against Jagannath Puri.
Man Singh.
He's the commander of Akbar's army. Very interesting personality. I don't know about treasurer, but he was the commander of his army. Very interesting personality. On one side of the world, he's attacking Jagannath. On the other side, one side of India is attacking Jagannath deities and Puri on behalf of Akbar, whoever it was, I guess it was Akbar. And although Akbar was somewhat religious. And then another side of India, he's building the Radha Govinda temple as service to his Shiksha Guru, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Because he's the builder of that temple. So when he built the temple, it's very grand and glorious. But he also built, he also donated about 500 bighas of land in Vrindavan. Or purchased and donated, or in, right now in the deity trust of the Radha Govinda temple. There's a bazaar in Vrindavan called Gopinath Bazaar.
Yeah.
And that was a part of the land of the Gopinath Mandir, built by some king. And so that land was, they made shops there, and then the rent from those shops went to maintain the temple. But even though each shop is worth about 30, 40 lakhs, or maybe a crore now, they're still paying the same rent they paid 300 years ago. They pay like 1 rupee a month or something.
The Rangaji temple property is owned by Radha Govinda temple. And every year the deity of Rangaji...
Well, I don't know. What are you saying?
The Rangaji temple just opposite Radha Govinda.
Yeah.
In Vrindavan.
Well, that land's owned by...
That land is owned by Govinda.
Yeah, well, could that makes sense, because usually that's a new temple that was only open in 1930s.
Every year the Vigraha of Gangaji goes to Radha Govinda and pays him 100 rupees.
Yeah.
They renew it like it's a 100-year lease, and every 100 years they renew.
Yeah, same thing. That's an interesting point. Yeah, that proves the point that nearby the temple and so much land. So that's 500 years ago, 1590, Radha Govinda temple was open. Took 40 years to complete. Rupa Goswami left this world in 1542, so 50 years after he left this world, the temple was open, so he never saw it.
Okay.
That's why his samadhi is not anywhere near the temple, because there was a construction site. Mm-hmm. So his samadhi was made in Sevakut at Jivagut, at the Radha Govinda.
The site is a yoga peak, right?
Radha Dham, yeah, that's the yoga peak. That area is the yoga pit described in the Govinda Lilamrita and other places. It says that the yoga pit rises like the back of a turtle. You know, Kachua's side of its shell like this, and it goes like that. You know a turtle?
Mm-hmm.
Kachua?
All yoga pits or the Govinda's temple?
I don't know about all. Maybe, could be, must be, I'm not sure. It goes like that. Linked to the bank of the Yamuna. So this Gopal Yantra, I mean, deities, first of all, in the mind of the king, in the heart of the king, a desire awakens, an inspiration. Oh, I would like to worship. I just took an diksha from the Ramanandi Sampradaya. Ramanandi Sampradaya is a branch of Sri Sampradaya, and they worship Sitaram. And I'm inspired in my heart. I want to build a grand temple to Sitaram. So the inspiration comes in the king's heart. It's called prerna. Then he goes to the acharya. And he says, listen, I was inspired, or I had a dream that I should make a temple of Sitaram. So then the acharya, his guru, says, yes, that is a very nice thing. I give you blessings for that. And then it starts. He goes and gets the murti. So the pran pratishtha of the murti begins with a prerna from the king. So pran pratishtha must be made of the deity, and the deity is invoked there, comes there by proper ritual and rites and yagyas and pujas. And then the puja is commenced, and the bhaktas offer their prayers and pujas there, and Lord Sita and Ram reciprocate with them and give them due blessings and encouragement. So the same thing applies to Gopal Yantra. The Gopal Yantra is the deity of Radha Govinda Yuga, situated in a yoga pit, surrounded by their 16 Shaktis and their Sasaktis, etc. And that Yantra has to be installed, that Radha and Krishna has to be installed there by a proper Acharya, proper Brahmin. Otherwise, it's a piece of copper plate or a piece of marble, a piece of neem wood, a piece of whatever. And then so many lakhs of Gopal mantra have to be chanted on that plate as part of the stapana, murti stapana, establishing, fixing the murti there in that Gopal Yantra. Otherwise, it's a very nice looking thing to put on your altar. Looks cool. Looks cool, but there's no benefit there. And it radiates copper ions. That may be good. You can put it in a pot of water and get some purified water.
What happens after you wear, if that is like really potent, then if you wear, what will happen?
Excuse me?
Why, if you wear really potent yantra, then what happens?
How does it mean? Where?
Kavach,
if you wear, what will happen?
What are you talking? I'm confused. We're talking about it.
He wants to know.
Gopal Yantra is like a piece of, usually it can be gold or silver, usually it's copper. And then it's shaped like a square.
Okay.
You don't usually hang around your neck. But there's two things. The deity is installed, he's invited there, and then he comes there to reciprocate with the love of the devotees and their seva. But if there's aparad and no seva, then the deity leaves. And you have to do again pran pratishtha. So the same thing, if you have a Gopal Yantra, you have to do puja every day. You just can't wear it around your neck and go swimming in Yamuna with it.
People wear kavach mal. What happens if they wear a different kind of narsimha kavach? What happens?
I can't say. I wore one for some time, but then someone told me, they said to me, I was on Prikama, and they said, you know, Prabhupada never wore a kavacha, and Bhakti Sanatana never wore a kavacha. And Prabhupada always told us to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and that Krishna is our Rakhi. And this is six symptoms of surrender. Rakshashititi vishaso bhaktitve varnam tata. It's the nectar of devotion. Anukalina sankalpa pratikulya savarjanam. The six symptoms of surrender is, this is the definition of sharanagati. So bhakta, a devotee, Krishna bhakta means a sharanagata. Someone who surrendered to Krishna. So this is found in Hari Bhakti Vilas, 11th Vilas, verse 676, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, and Sanatan Shiksha, chapter 22, Madhya Lila, verse 100, Bhakti Sandarbha, Anuchay 236, Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishya titi vishwaso guptitve varanam tata atma nikshepa karpanye shadvida sharanagati. There are six symptoms of sharanagati. Shadvida sharanagati. Anukul and pratikul. Only do what is favorable for bhakti and reject unfavorable. Third is rakshishya titi vishwaso. Have vishwas that my Rakhi is Krishna. Bhagavan is one's protector. And this is a real expression of vishwas. The fourth is goptritve varnam. Accept Bhagavan as one's goptritve, means guardian, maintainer. And then atmanic shape, no independent mood, always humble, surrendered, submissive, submission, atmanavedan, karpanye, to meekness, I am wretched, I am insignificant, so that means dainya, humility, karpanya. So this is raksha. Krishna is my protector. So Krishna, Prabhupada gave us the Hare Krishna mantra, and Prabhupada was asked, how are you successful in the world? Establishing your spiritual movement. Prabhupada said, there's two causes of my success. I had complete faith in the words of my spiritual master. And I had complete faith in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Didn't say anything about kavacha. Didn't say anything. We never saw or heard anything about kavachas during Prabhupada's time with us on the planet. They came, you know, every once in a while you see some isolated devotee, like, what's that? Oh, I got that in India. Someone said I had 10 ghosts inside of me. So he gave me this kavacha to wear. Boots.
Yeah.
I went to India, some guy, I went to some tantric, and he said I have 10 boots, das boot under. Vitar. So he told me to wear this and get rid of it. So he gave me some vibhuti, I don't know what it is, the Sringa mantra or something. Vibhuti or some basma, I don't know. So we occasionally see someone wearing around their arm or something. But now it's a whole market. You know, this kavacha market, and it's pretty popular and pretty lucrative, I guess, if you're in the market. You can get gold canisters. Was it tabij? It's called tabij?
Prayer boxes. Tabij,
I think, in Hindi. Tabij.
Tabij is Urdu.
Oh, Hindi is, what is Hindi in Hindi anyway?
Kavacha
means protection. But the container is armor. You're right. But the container is called tabij.
Yeah.
Tabij is not a So tabij may be an Urdu word, no doubt.
Yes.
You're
correct.
Anyway, it's a little canister. In English we say a little canister. Chota dibba. Dibba is Hindi, I don't know. Chota dibba. And then you put something, you write really itsy itsy bini, write one shloka from that prayer. Or how much can you put in there, you know, or something. There's something, you put some kind of charged up substance in there. And some people wear braja raja in there. Some people carry the dust of their guru's birthplace. There's so many things people may be carrying in their little tabij. But as far as the principle of protection, you may carry many things that are sacred and dear to you in your tabij. That's a different thing from necessarily kavacha protection. I want to carry this braja raja wherever I go, wherever I die. I want to have this tabij with a maha tulsi inside it, leaf from the charana tulsi from Radharaman's feet. That's a very nice.
The neck beads are protection.
Yeah, I basically, you know, Prabhupada, he didn't tell us to wear these. He doesn't write anything about it. We should wear these. And he gave us 6 canto of Bhagavatam, and then there's a prayer that was given to Lord Indra called the Narayan Kavacha.
Right.
And that's a series of mantras that are chanted to protect yourself. You do nyas and then touch different parts of your fingers and maastraya pat, rotate in different directions and sit down facing maybe north or east and chant this mantra on a sanctified kusa grass asan or some proper asan. And this is called kavacha, means protective armor. There's kavachas. The city of Dwarka was protected by kavachas. So when Chitraleka was trying to enter there on behalf of Usha in the Dwarka Leela, she was a friend of the princess Usha, the daughter of Banasura. And she was blessed by Durga that she would meet her husband. Because once Lord Shiva, Banasura was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva came to visit him along with Parvati. And she was a young girl, just a young adolescent girl at that time. And she was sitting next to her father, Banasura, in the audience of Shiva and Parvati, Durgama. And this young adolescent girl, just now a flowering young girl, she saw, Shiva's so handsome, and Parvati's looking at him with so much love, and she's so lucky to have such a beautiful, handsome lover. When will I ever meet my lover and my husband, my life's partner? So she was thinking like this. So then Parvati is a very powerful goddess. So then she looked at her and she said, Oh Beti, oh Kumarika, you know, Tatastu. 2 weeks from now, at night in your dreams, the boy you see in your dreams, he will be your life partner. He will be your husband. This is an Ashirvad, blessing from Parvati. This is in Bhagavad Puran, Dasama Skanda. So then 2 weeks later, she was sleeping. She had an illicit affair. She had, in her dream, Usha was dreaming of Krishna's, of Rukmini and Krishna's son, Pradyumna's son, named Aniruddha, Krishna's grandson. Rukmini and Krishna had one son named Pradyumna, and Pradyumna had got married and had it.
Got married to Rukma's daughter.
Yeah, something like that, some similar kind of thing. So Rukmanga or something like that, or Rukmavati or something like that.
Yeah.
Rukmavati. And then, so she had this dream of Aniruddha. And then she woke up, oh, my lover, and she woke up, and then her friend Chitraleka, who was a kind of a tantri, and an artist, Chitra means artist. So she said, oh, who is this lover you're dreaming about? Oh, he's so handsome, so beautiful. So she started drawing all the handsome, beautiful princes around India. So then when she saw the picture of Aniruddha, the drawing of Aniruddha, she said, oh, that's him. And she started trembling. Then it's understood at that time that Usha took a pen or something, whatever, some kind of pencil or whatever, from the hand of Chitra, and she wrote above the picture, Aniruddha. And then Chitraleka said, this is the one. Yes, this is the one. I was blessed by Parvati that the man I met and enjoyed with my dreams, that was last night, would be my husband. He's destined to be my husband. Can you help me? She said, yes, yes, I can bring him here. So then she flew off through the skyways to go to Dwarka. But when she tried to land there, she didn't get permission to land. The runway was jammed because the whole city was surrounded by mantras. So no Rakshas, no Ravana, no kind of demon from Patal region, no higher, any kind of demon for any place kind of coming there with some drones or any kind of modern, you know, stealth bombers or stealth bombers or drone bombers or any kind of way they could come in there. So then, well, she was a little frustrated. So then to make the Leela, to put a little, you know, grease on the Leela and give a little catalyst to the Leela, the Narada Muni showed up as usual. And he said, listen, what's going on? He said, look, I can't get in this place. You know, all 10 directions are blocked with a Trishul. All the 10 directions are blocked with this Kavacha, Mantra Kavacha, and I can't enter there. Oh, I'll tell you how to break the locks. It's called break the seals. They're called seals or Kavachas or Mantra seals. So then he gave mantras to break those. Like you have a password on your computer, and some Russian crack guy, you know, breaks through there and gets into your computer.
Security system.
Huh?
Breaks through your security.
Yeah, yeah.
Hacks through your security.
Yeah, yeah. So hacks through your security. So then she hacked through the security there and entered the city, and she picked up Aniruddha and took him to the Vana's place, right inside the bedroom. Long story. So mantras and kavachas, they have great power. So there's no greater mantra kavacha than Hare Krishna mantra. Because, you know, we are given that mantra. It doesn't require, it's not a diksha, it doesn't require initiation, but we generally receive that and hear that mantra, Hare Krishna mantra, from our guru as part of the initiation, let's say, package or ceremony. Usually even here in Radhakund among the Babaji's, they'll initiate into the Harinam right before they give diksha. A mantra diksha, Krishna mantra, Gopal, Kam Gayatri, etc. So this is sufficient, and Prabhupada, in all times and dangers, he always told us to chant Hare Krishna in life and death and birth. So if your car is about to crash, Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you're not going to say, Tava Kara Kamala Bhavrenaka. You know, this is a beautiful prayer. It originates from the Tava Kara Kamala. It comes from, it was written about 1,000 years ago, It's not exactly Shruti or Purana. It's 1,000 years ago. It was penned by Jayadeva Goswami in Gita Govinda Mangalacharana. Tavakara Kamala Varenakam. But we find that there are two prayers that were spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Every day he would go to take darshan of Jagannathji. And he would go through, when he was in Puri, and he would go through the Singhadwara gate. It's called the Singhadwara's east-facing gate, Purvadwara, facing the rising sun. And then the entrance to that gate is the charioteer driver on a big stamba, special type of metal or stone stamba, opposite the Singhadwara. It's called Arun stamba. Have you seen? Arun. Sometimes people mistake that for Garuda. But that's not, Garuda is inside the temple itself, where Lord Chaitanya stood, Garuda stamba. So there it's a very tall column, very, very tall. Outside on the road, it's basically on the road almost, right in front of the Singhadwara. And inside, on the Dainataraf is Patita, Pavan, Jagannath. So that long stamba, special stone, stone deity is called Arun. He's the chariot driver. So he's the right sun's chariot driver. So he represents the sun. That's why you say, Udila Aruna Purava Bhage Dvijamani Gora Amani Jage. Aruna, Arun means pink, pinkish color. Because the body, Arun's body is pinkish because he's got burned up by the sun. And the whole Leela about that. Why he came to Puri, because he was feeling so much burning from the, you know, he's riding right, you know, if your duty is to stand next to a fire and throw logs on it, you may get really hot and perspire a lot in a huge fire. So he's driving the chariot, and this passenger is the sun god. And the sun is really hot. So he's so hot, you know, if you put your face inside a microwave, you'll get all charcoal, you know. So he's sitting there, so his body is totally red in color. That pink is, he's pink, red hot pink. So that's why when the sun rises, it's pink, because you're seeing the chariot driver first. First you see the pink sky because you see the chariot driver. If you have a long limousine, first you see the driver before you see the passenger. They have these stretch limousines in America where the driver's here, then between the driver and the passenger where he sits is 10 feet, 11 feet. There's a table in front and this and that. You can eat dinner there. It's called stretch limousine. You see? They're big. You're sitting there like this and the driver's way up. In a regular car, you just grab the driver in a second. So he's there. He's first. You see the driver. You see the Arun. So kavacha, we don't need any kavacha. We need the Chanarai Krishna. I mean, where's the Vishwa? It says, Rakshishyatiti Vishwaso. It says, Vishwa, that Krishna's, I'm your maintainer, I'm your protector. So who is Hare Krishna? Hare Krishna is Krishna. Sakshat Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he's the origin of the Srinagadeva. So whatever avatar you need to save you at a particular time, you know, Krishna will manifest to save you. Say you're in the ocean.
It's quite ironic that Balram Kavach, it's recited to, I think, Duryodhan. By Garudamuni, Duryodhan asks Garudamuni, like, tell me the kavacha of Balram. And if you see Mahabharata at the end, and he's getting slaughtered by Bhima, Balram comes over there, but he doesn't give complete protection to Duryodhan.
Yeah, well, I don't know about TV, you know, B. Chopra's Mahabharata. It's very educational, very entertaining, but oftentimes not shastric.
Okay.
And I'll give you an example. In the Mahabharata, there's a fight between Shiva and Arjuna.
Right.
And in the Mahabharata, it shows that Arjuna beat up Shiva. In Chopra's movie, TV, whatever, the serial. But if you read the Mahabharata, and I have this section in my notes, the part of it is the opposite. That Shiva beat the... out of soundly. Shiva completely defeated Arjuna. It's opposite there. And it says in the Mahabharata that Karna is born from the ear of Draupadi. That's incorrect.
From the ear?
Karna means ear.
Yeah.
Karna means ear. That Draupadi had a boon that you know, the different demigods would come, so the sun god came and or something like that. She could call
Kunti.
Kunti. I made a mistake. Kunti's son Karna is born from the ear. That's not true. The word Karna means he breaks the covetous. Karna means covetous. So there are many wrong things that are. The idea, because I saw an article by one pundit on the net on Google, and the idea that Karna is born from the ear comes from the Indonesian. There is a version of Mahabharata printed in Indonesia,
right.
Malaysian, in the Indonesian version, but the actual original Sanskrit Mahabharata by Vyasadeva says that Karna is not born from the ear, that it means something else. At any rate, so that point you're saying about Balaram didn't defend him, I don't know if it's correct or not, I can't say. But he chanted it. So these two prayers I was starting to say, that the Sringa prayers, when Lord Chaitanya would enter the eastern gate, I got a little sidetracked. He would enter the eastern gate, he would go up the 22 stairs, Anand Bazaar, on your way up the stairs or somewhere before you get to the Jagannath Temple, I've never been inside, but I've read and I heard, and it says there in CC and Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's the Sringa Temple there, on the right or somewhere. I think it's at the top of the stairs, as I remember in the description. So Lord Chaitanya would go in and Singhadwara Gate, and then you have to go some straight, then you have to go up so many stairs, and there's like a little platform, keep going. So somewhere there's the Sringadeva Temple. So every day when Lord Chaitanya was going for darshan, he would turn to that Sringadeva Temple, fold his hands, and he would sing this mantra. Namaste Narasingha Pralada Ladadayane Hiranyakashi Purvaksha Shilatanka Nakalaye Hito Nishingho Parato Nishingho Yato Yato Yamitato Nishingho Bahir Nishingho Ridaye Nishingho Nishingha Madim Sharanam Prapade, and then go and take Jagannath Darshan. So that prayer, at least we can say Lord Chaitanya chanted that. So that's our Pramana, we chant that. Where that comes from, I can't say. Maybe it's told somewhere. But that would be, we probably introduced that prayer sometime, not in the beginning of ISKCON. Some history of that is there. 1968 or 69, not in the beginning. But there was some threat on the temple, or someone was calling, threatening Prabhupada's life or something. Excuse me? I don't remember. That was later. That was much later, I think, after Prabhupada left this planet. They had difficulty in Germany, so then they installed some Nisringadeva deity there or something. Prahlad Nisringa or something. I don't know. There's the first ISKCON Nisringadeva deity was installed over there in Germany, but I think that's after Prabhupada left. But Prabhupada introduced the prayer, no Nisringadeva deity. The Nisringadeva deity in Mayapur was introduced as in following the lead from the Sri Chaitanya Yogapit and the Sri Chaitanya Mat. The Sri Chaitanya Mat, they established that temple, the Yogapit, in Gaudiya Math in 1937 or so, whenever. And after 1950s or so, they had some trouble with the neighbors. The Muslim neighbors were trying to steal and encroach their land and attack the temple sometimes. So it was advised that they install the Sringadeva deity. So way in the back part of their property, of the Yogapit, there's a Gorgadadhar temple on one side. There's a Lakshmi Nisringadeva there, and there's a Gorgadadhar.
Right.
That was installed in 1950s or so by the Sri Chaitanya Math to protect from the demons. And so later in the 80s, ISKCON Mayapur, long after Prabhupada left this world, in the 84, 85, something like that, some attackers, I think Muslims, attacked and stole Radha Madhav.
Yeah.
And they broke the deity.
They thought it was gold.
Yeah, maybe some bit of gold is there, but not solid gold. And so then after that, they thought they'd take idea from the Gaudiya Math, and they also installed the Sringadev there, as you know, in Mayapur. So in this way, there's two major Nisringadev deities, first in Germany, which had so many problems, and then Mayapur. And all Prabhupada ever did was, after some time, there was, the devotee said, is there anything we can do besides chant Hare Krishna? Is there any other person we can worship? Prabhupada said, well, there's some prayers you can sing to Lord Nisringadev. Lord Chaitanya used to sing these prayers. You can sing these prayers and pray to Nisringadev, protect this movement. Protect the Guru, protect the movement. So then I was introduced, and later Chaitananda in the songbook. And the songbook, when he was compiling the first ISKCON songbook of Chaitananda Swami, he asked Prabhupada if we could include the Dasar Avatar Stotra, because Prabhupada used to like to sing that sometimes. On the vintage CDs, you can hear Prabhupada sing that, playing harmonium. So Prabhupada said yes. So that was 1972 or 73 or so that songbook came out. So then that prayer was introduced, Tavakara Kamala. So now that became kind of slipped into the ISKCON program, was added. But 66, 67, so many years, no that Tavakara. And 65, 66, 67, I don't know when the other two prayers, when they started, Namaste Narasimha. Somewhere there. You can see the history of that in the Lilamrita. So my understanding is we chant Hare Krishna. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Lord Chaitanya, if we are only always chanting Kirtaniya Sadahari, we don't have time for anything else. We're always chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. So I don't think we need anything more. Sometimes maybe if the Guru, if you have some physical problem or some difficulty, say, everything has its usefulness, time, place, and circumstance. But the general principle, we should always chant the Holy Name as our protector. But there may be some circumstances of health, mental health or physical health, or you want extra protection or protection when you're sleeping or whatever, I can't say. There may be some need, a necessity for a smaller, big devotee to wear some type of kavacha. So I can't say it's wrong, but that's it's done quite a bit nowadays.
Yes.
And it's certainly not, it's not a wrong thing. It's okay. But we weren't introduced that way.
And supplementary.
It seems to me, I think that's individual. Everyone will have to decide according to the degree of their faith and realization. That's as far as you can go in anywhere in spiritual life. What you can accept and what you can believe and what you can do depends on your faith and realization. So for Prabhupada, it was just Guru Agya and Hare Krishna. Prabhupada is the founder of the Hare Krishna movement. I don't think Prabhupada sold any kavachas to anybody. But it goes on quite a bit. I mean, you can read in the Govinda Lilamrita that when Krishna's getting dressed and going out in the morning for Gocharan Lila, that Yashoda, she chants, puts Nishina Kavacha on Krishna's body or something. I don't know whether it's a tabij or... No, that's one thing, but it says that would be, whatever she did, that would be named. But I don't know, maybe it's interpreted that way, I can't say. But there is some idea that she chants some mantras or whatever.
Yes, she does.
Chants the names of God. As I said, I had one. I was kind of got caught up in a wave of enthusiasm. And when you go to Mayapur, there's a lot of the Sringadev Bhav there, enthusiasm, and everyone was talking about the glories of these kavachas, and they're very helpful. And sannyasis preaching in dangerous areas and lots of dangerous. Elements here and there and people. So it was recommended that maybe it'd be a good idea. So then we were given one of those. And we wore it for a short time. And then some buddy from Delhi said, well, you know, I thought you're a devotee. Don't you have faith in Krishna? And Krishna is everywhere. Krishna is in every atom. Krishna will protect you wherever you are. So what do you need that for? He wasn't even initiated. I was on Parikrama Govardhan. I said, I guess you're right. Makes sense. Because I, you know, for 30 years or so, I never wore one, never thought about it. Somehow I got along all right. 30 years as a devotee. Yeah. So then I took off my neck and I put in Govinda Kunda. I said, this is good, you stay here. So it's individual. Everything is individual. Everything can be engaged and used in Krishna's service according to the necessity. And as I said, a level of our faith and our realization. Nothing's bad unless it's if it's disconnected from Krishna and not favorable to Krishna and not reminding us of Krishna, then it's bad. But we're wearing an Ashrayana Kavacha. It's what is that? Oh, that's an Ashrayana Kavacha. We're remembering Krishna. So it's also favorable. If you need to wear one, then carry on. I would never make a statement. No one should wear. It's bogus. You know, I don't want to say that because these are all Vedic things, and everything is good and beneficial for the, you know, different strokes for different folks, as we say. Different strokes for different folks. That's an old statement from 1970s. In other words, everybody's. One man's food is another man's poison. Like my chokidar eats 10 chilies every day. Green chilies this long. Wow. If I eat, that's his food. If I eat one, I'm dead. That's my poison. 10 green chilies. That's a lot of firepower. What's the time?
It's 5 to 6.
You have a question?
Can you tell more about this four personalities which staying near...
What's going on? Oh, battery's low.
In four directions in Yoga Pit, you mentioned that one of them is Vrinda, and the second question is there is any yoga pit in Jagannathapuri?
Excuse me?
The second question is about yoga pit in Jagannathapuri.
Jagannathapuri.
Is there is any yoga pit in Puri? And the first question about this three personality, Vrindadevi and other three. Who are they?
The first question is about Vrindavan Yogapit, which appears in three places, in three junctures of the day. Morning in Nandagram at Guptakund, which is behind Vrindakund. Afternoon in Lita's Kunj in Radhakund. And the evening is called Govindastali. It's called the Maha Yogapit, which is described in Padma Purana and so many places. Govinda Lilamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj wrote a verse about it. He glorifies the yoga pit. Devyad Brindaran, they say this is the mantra to worship Radha Govinda. There's a mantra to worship Madan Mohan. Jayatam surato pangur mama mandamater gati matsarvastra padam bojo radha marana mohano. Then it's called the Sambandha mantra or something. Nyavideya mantra. Dibyad Brindaranya Kapa Jumada Srimad Ratnagara Simha Sanasto Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Preshta Alibi Savyamano Smarami. So this is a mantra, a mantra to glorify the yoga peat. Radha Govinda Sit Samasto. They're sitting in the middle of the yoga peat. Lotus configuration on a beautiful golden throne. under Sarana Preshta Alibi. Alibi means gopi. Alibi means Sakhi Mantri Gopi. Preshta means the topmost best. Surrounded by their topmost best gopis, Preshta Alibi, Sevyaman. And they're all doing Sevya. It's different Seva. And I'm remembering that. Smarami, I'm meditating on that. That's my Yogapit Smaran. So there in the four directions, the Yogapit is a mandir, a shape, whatever the proper shape of a mandir is, square or rectangular, not sure. Then in the middle of that mandir is a lotus. There's an octagon, and in the middle of that rectangular or square golden mandir. The mandir has nine domes. One central dome is a carved lotus. When you go into Govindaji Mandir, in the very center there's one huge stone, one piece of stone, carved lotus. That's the same in the spiritual world. The big lotus, that's the central dome of the Mandir. And then there's eight other domes, which I would assume. I think Mandir's proper vastu shape from Mandir is rectangular. I think so. So there's the central dome, then that's one, then there's one in each four corner, that's four, and then one in the middle, that's eight. So there's nine domes altogether, small and big. And then in that mandir there's four entrance gates. And from that mandir on the top of this hillock, as you see when Govindaji is on the top of the hillock, those pathways go to the Yamuna. Yamuna comes from the north, comes in from the north from Nandagram, enters the Yogapit and breaks into two branches. One goes east and west and joins in the south again. So in the middle of that, like an island almost. That's what he says, like an island. Island in the middle of Yamuna is this Yogapit. And so from the four gates or doorways, dwara, of the Yogapit, there's pathways going down the Yamuna. And they're lined with Bokul trees, like the entranceway of Mayapur Mandir. I don't know, now it's all construction, but when you come in the main gate in Mayapur, and there used to be a road to go straight all the way into the Sringadeva temple.
Right.
And there, on either side there are Bokul trees all the way down.
Yeah.
Little tiny flower. Now I don't know. I haven't been there in 10 years. But so that's like that there in Yogapit. And so there inside that rectangular Mandir, then there's an octagon, eight-shaped, a raised platform, which is raised about a foot off the ground, and it has four steps going up to it, and it's shaped like a lotus. It's a center corolla, eight, it's 24 petal lotus. There's like a lotus here. There's eight petals, then eight petals, and eight petals. Ashtamandris, Asasakis, Astupasakis. Then, and those, so there's steps going up to that mandala, raised mandala, platform about 18 inches off the floor of the mandir, and it's shaped eight-sided. And then it's like the, this is what the Gopal Yantra is like, the Yoga Pit.
Yeah.
So that Radha and Krishna in the center. So there, those four pathways, and in the northern direction is Brindadevi. And then Brindarika, Menaka, and Murali. So Brindadevi, of course, is Radharani's Kayavyuha Sakhi expansion. Everyone knows Brindadevi. And then Brindarika, there are these, and Menaka and Murali, these are just other Muralika. Muralika has one form as Krishna's Murali, and one form as a gopi. And she's there it's called gatekeeper, or Dwara. And she does so many other things. Her name is mentioned in Radhakrishna Ganadeshi Deepika. And I don't see much more detail about her. I can't give you more details about that. But these gopis, that's their seva, one of their sevas. Brindadevi doesn't stand all day long at the... When the Yogapit is a place where all the devotees come together to worship the Lord, and Lita offers Artik, and all the different parivars are there, and different groups are there. And the Siddha Sakhi Parivar, and Gaurlila, you're in your sadhana roop there with your particular group, and that's where the worship of the divine couple is done by their Nitya Parishads. And Madhyan Lila, and Pratak Lila, Madhyan Lila, and Madhyan Lila. I mean, Madhyan Lila, Pratak Lila, Madhyan Lila, and Ratri Lila at night. So, Jagannath Puri Yogapit, wherever the Lord is, and his eternal associates, there must be a Yogapit. There's a Yogapit in Vaikuntha. So Jagannath Puri, there's also Purushottam Kshetras in the spiritual world. There's a Vaikuntha planet called Jagannath Puri. Well, I don't know what it's called, Jagannath Puri. Called Purushottam Dham. You can read the description of that in Brihad Bhagavatamritam. So, as I said, wherever the Lord is with eternal associates, there's a Yogapit. So, based on that Shastra Praman, then we can assume also here in Puri, Purushottam Kshetra here, Purushottam Kshetra there in Vaikuntha. Brajadham here, Aprakat Prakat, and Aprakat Brajadham in Goloka Vrindavan. This is the same. So here we have three Yogapits, and so there must be a Yogapit also in Jagannath Puri, but I don't know exactly where that is. Can't say. Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam.